That we welcome and we'll start the program.
Yes. So let me read two reports that came by email. Most respected Bhante, sitting. Primary object is rising and falling, then turning into body breathing. Soon there is only a sense of breathing somehow taking place. Main secondary object is thinking. Content often feels unimportant. Secondary object is very frequent, and I get caught for what feels like long periods, but I don't really have a notion of time. When there is no thinking, I experience all kind of things which are difficult to describe and hopefully not relevant for this report. What I'd like to report today. Sometimes during sittings, I fall over. I never hit the floor. The reflex to straighten up always works in time. Sometimes the forearm rises up in a jerk. Even when I'm not aware of a loss of balance happening, I thought this jerking forearm may be a reflex because I was losing balance. But now I think that these jerks do not or not always happen due to a loss of balance, and that falling over is not or not always due to sleep. Yesterday, for the first time, I clearly had the impression that the body suddenly fell over while I actually was awake. Observation yesterday, sitting is rather smooth and I am interested in the process. The upper body is only slightly bent to the left. At some point, the body falls over and straightens up as a reflex, as it usually does. I sit upright again, the mind is clear and alert, and the body is calm, not startled as if I had suddenly been shaken out of sleep. Memory of what happened just before falling over comes to my mind. It gives the impression that thinking was happening in the background without involving with it. There is no memory of what was happening in the foreground. Actually, it feels as if nothing was happening in the foreground before I fell over, and that I very well was awake. Therefore, the impression that the falling over wasn't due to sleep. I'm reporting all this in details, though I'm not sure if it is important whether the falling over happens due to sleep or not. Of course, to me, it feels important because I see falling asleep during sitting as a failure. Please, respected Bhante, can you give feedback and advice? Thank you.
Yeah. What was the name of the yogi? Yeah. The what I can understand from the writing is that he managed to see the difference between the primary object and the secondary object. And then sometimes secondary object, the thinking also, go like a mixture, go like a flux. So that means beyond control. So when such a thing happen, either falling into sleep or falling, your posture will be slack, or you get sometimes shocks, or that kind of thing happen. So it appear like, generally it appear like an accident. But once it is started, it's going to happen again and again and again. So one clue the Buddha gives is once you waken up, you know before falling you have lost memory. You have nothing to report. So that means generally we can understand that we are not mindful. And again, whenever you come back to the mindfulness, it gives a shock and sometimes you fall or you get jerks or sometimes like an electric shock, that kind of thing happen. That means this is a kind of a progressive sign, but to Pandita Sayadaw is giving just another pragmatic clue. He says, once you get up, once you waken up, are you waking up into your body or your primary object, or you get lost? You are not sure where to what you awaken up. So therefore, when it is happening again and again, see, whenever after a short or small shock or big shock, you are waking up into the primary object or to your body, or how quickly, how efficiently you can come back to the primary object. If you can come back quick to the primary object or automatically come into the object, that is not a sleep. That's a kind of a sign that mind goes to nothing and you do not know how to handle. Mind go to the flux, you don't know how to handle. Then you get jerk and come back to the senses. Now you are understanding the consciousness which is not related to senses. You are familiar with the consciousness what is related to senses, that you are hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, all the kind of, but there is a kind of a internal, primordial form of consciousness that is not related to eye and the seeing, nor ear and the sounds, nose and the olfactory senses, tongue and the taste, touching and the body, and thinking at the mind, but unrelated. So that is, you have not experienced it. And it appears like a threat, it appears like a lost, it appears like a no boundaries. But if you go prepared, the situation is different. Before going prepared, you have to check whether you waken up into your primary object or how quickly you can come to the primary object. That means it will be give a clue or a precursor for you to go prepared. Preparedness is whenever the mind goes to the flux, whenever mind loses the object of in-breath and out-breath and the primary object and the other object and everything appear like a slurry, everything appear like a flux, so that you have to be prepared. Now mind is going to the unknown area, no boundaries area. So that area may carry the total liberation. Known area, never you get liberation. Whatever you know, that area, no liberation. So unknown area may be. Ready? Go prepared. Frog, jump into the old pond, plop. Okay?
Yes, Bhante. Absolutely amazing answer. I liked it for him.
I think I gave the answer to the Yan rather than the anonymous writer.
Yes. It was very useful for me as
so
well.
Be with me. I will hit you to your nose. No problem. You are escaping and running and all the kind of games.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. And there is one more from Anuradha. So let me read that one. Most Venerable Bhante, sitting meditation. At first, I watched my posture and quickly became aware of my breathing. Coolness of the in-breath and warmth of the out-breath was felt. There was also a burning sensation in both nostrils to the same degree, then it was more prominent in the left nostril. Soon the breath became very subtle. The burning sensation too prevailed subtly. After a while, in both in and out breaths was same in intensity, and there was the burning sensation very slightly. It seems to be everywhere, but rather focusing on where it was, my attention was on how it felt. There was tingling. Some places even felt cold, but strangely, I couldn't say if it is cold or the hotness of burning. It is somewhat difficult to put it in words. While these were happening, my awareness was on the breath, and after a while, they seemed to be the backdrop and the breath, the main object, though it was very subtle too. After some time, there was a long in and out breathe like a sight, and then again, breath became subtle, but I kept my focus on it. The background sensations became gradually intensive, sometimes feeling as if there were ripples and currents along with the burning. I could feel the subtle in-breath and out-breath, so I kept my focus on it. And again, it was broken by a long breath, and these cycles kept repeating. I noticed in this sitting that sounds, thoughts didn't seem to interfere as much, sounds and thoughts. Even if I heard them, focus was on breath, and they passed away and didn't seem like irritations. Most respected Bhante, may you be blessed by Triple Gem and realize Noble Dhamma.
So that when you are starting the breath, even if it is not mentioned, we call that is the gross breath. And then when it is passing the subtle, it goes to the very subtlest kind of breath. And it is not the bimodal pattern, it is a flat almost. Just like when you go to the seashore, the breaking waves are, you can count. But you go look further into the horizon, they are flat. They also waves are there, but you can't see. So likewise, the all the wave pattern is flattening off. Their sound can't disturb you, thoughts can't disturb you, because you are really face to face with the breath, but hardly you can recognize in-breath, out-breath difference, and whether it is representative of breath. So much of facets. So when that happens only, sometimes I feel like a slurry or flux or no limits, or sometimes it appears boring because no bimodal pattern then, or very monotonous, or you feel from where you do not know, shocks are happening and jerks are happening and all the kind of thing happen. So everything is to make you eccentric. So you have to understand all the kind of mistakes can happen. You just, as much as possible, see the metamorphosis, see the evolution, see the revolutionary different facets of the breath, and breath is calming down. But very difficult to keep the track with. Either you fall asleep or become bored, or you get up and go, or you think that your mindfulness is shattered and no concentration, no breath, because the breath has changed its mode. It's changing into different manners. But if you are a sharp observer, thin slicing of time, you can see gross breath becomes subtle and subtle becomes subtlest. So that is the point. Beyond that, language is not available, limits are not available, very difficult to express, and your knowledge becomes the ineffable. You can't explain. So that part, you may think very difficult to communicate. You feel like no use of writing. No. If you follow the history, chronology, then one can understand. Even the listener can understand this is what it happens. And if you lost the track, again the breath becomes gross, you get a shock, and again you start another cycle. And then again it becomes subtle and subtle and subtle, and then never you become, it becomes intangible. Again it becomes gross with a shock kind of thing. So likewise cycles are happening. By each cycle, you are going to the more subtlest area. For that you must have you must facilitate your mind to go prepare for the more subtle. Ultimately you will understand either breath, in-breath and out-breath, or sounds, or thoughts, or pain. Everything starting from this subtle energy. This can manifest as anything, either visual or sounds or kind of thing. But once manifested, you can label it. Before the manifestation, they are just energy. So ultimately, the day you handle it properly, yourself, your egocentric idea also dissolve into the energy, and you feel like you lost. No mindful, no concentration, but no problem. Because your me and not me boundary gone, no tension, no frustration. But only unlucky thing is you can throw a party. Because you are no more. Very difficult for Slovakians. Waiting for a party. So I will teach you, you get the most dramatic achievement, biggest achievement, but I am sorry, difficult to take part in the party. So you are on the way, continue with that confidence, and you will lose your all the knowledge, all the expressibility, all the communication, all the self, all the boundaries. Some people very, how do you call, admiring, they radically happy with that. I don't know whether you are on that side. I promote it. Please continue.
Subhapetto Bhante. I'm Milan. Pri meditácii v chôdzi sledujem dotyk chodidla so zemou.
While doing the walking meditation, I am observing a touch of my feet on the ground.
Všimol som si, že v pete mám stále silné nápetie, taký tvrdý pocit.
I could observe there is a sensation of hardness or tension in my feet. No. Teraz mi vypadlo peta, jak sa povie.
Heel.
Ďakujem.
A na rozdiel od toho prsty.
And instead,
prsty sú stále akoby len tak položené. Žiadny tlak tam nie je.
Toes are just placed. There is no pressure there.
Keď sa otočím a stojím na mieste s otvorenými očami, tak pociťujem rovnomerný tlak na chodidla.
When I turn around and I observe my feet, I can see, I can feel an equanimous pressure on both soles of the feet.
Ale keď zavriem oči, tak po chvíli mám pocit, ako by som stál iba na vonkajších stranách chodidel.
But when I close my eyes, after a while, I can feel as if I were standing only on the outside part or outer side of feet.
A pri meditácii v sede sledujem brucho.
While doing the sitting meditation, I am observing rise and fall my stomach.
Nemám žiadnu výraznú fyzickú bolesť.
I am not having any intense bodily pain.
Pozornosť sa mi darí udržiavať takmer stále na bruchu.
I manage to keep my attention almost all the time or continuously on the belly.
A keď mysel preskočí na nejaký iný objekt, tak takmer okamžite si toho všimnem a vrátim ju naspäť na meditačný objekt.
And when my mind starts to be involved in anything else, almost immediately I can notice it and I bring attention back to the meditation object.
Brucho, brušná stena sa pohybuje niekedy ako kus látky vo vanku, tak jemne, ladne, plynule.
My belly, inner side of the belly, of the stomach, sometimes moves very smoothly as if a clothes in a soft wind.
A niekedy mám pocit, ako keby som mal na miesto brucha dosku.
And drevo. Sometimes I have a feeling as if I had a piece of wood.
Wood
instead of my belly.
No, I didn't get you. You have to repeat.
A feeling, there is a sensation or a feeling as if he is having a piece of wood instead of his belly. That kind of sensation.
Good. Okay, got it.
Ale väčšinou je niečo medzi tým, sa to tak ako mení.
But oftentimes it tends to change and there is something, a sensation in between.
To je všetko.
That's all.
So, I have a hard question for him. when he was sitting and fighting, observing rising and falling, he says no pain. How do you know that he has no pain?
Mám pre teba náročnú otázku. Keď sedíš a zápasíš s tým pozorovaním, tak si povedal, že necítiš, nemáš žiadnu bolesť. A teraz, ako vieš, že nemáš žiadnu bolesť?
Pretože keď si sadám, tak cítim dotykové body. A cítim, niektoré sú len také, že dotyk, a niektoré sú také, že je tam väčší tlak.
Because when I'm sitting down, I can feel the touching points and prepáč, niektoré...
Dotykové body.
Áno, ale na konci, čo si povedal?
Že niektoré len cítim a na niektorých je vysoký tlak.
Aha, some of them I can just feel and on others I can feel stronger pressure.
Yes, potom, but how can he feel the no pressure, no pain?
A ako cítiš, že tam nemáš bolesť? Alebo že tam nemáš
keď
tlak?
Keď sa postavím po meditácii, tak sa tí pocity zvýraznia.
After the meditation, when I stand up, the sensations get more intense, more strong.
Okay, but how can he feel no pain? He can explain the pain, he can explain the tension, he can explain the touching point. My question is, how can ever he feel that I have no pain?
Áno, ty si hovoril, že o tých dotykových bodoch, tlakových bodoch, tlaku, bolesti, ale ja sa pýtam, ako cítiš to, že nemáš bolesť?
Ťažká otázka.
It's a hard question indeed.
But ask him in between rising and falling, there is a place where there are no feelings. End of the rising and beginning of the falling, can he feel it?
A medzi zdvihnutím a klesnutím brucha je bod alebo miesto, kde není pocit. V tej prestávke dokážeš to zavnímať alebo cítiť?
Väčšinou nie, ale párkrát som to už pozoroval.
Mostly not, but a few times I managed to observe it.
Yeah, go ahead. So whenever you are about to feel no pain, no feeling, that means mind is opening. As far as you know the name of the feeling, as far as you know the name of the sensation, you are in the very, your old mind. Whenever you go to no pain, no feeling, that means you are opening. Good. And the other question, what the issue, he says, when you observe in the belly, sometimes it's very soft, sometimes it's like a wood, and different changes. So that observation of changes, maybe in the belly, or maybe in the rising and falling, maybe in the hand, whatever it may be, it's a very good sign. Because the mind is ready to accept. Ready to accept the impermanent nature. It appears like a different shapes and different manners. So, continue to do. Don't consider it as a bad sign or bad omen. And these are the signs of vipassana. Those changes are happening. And you are not distracted. You carry on. Maybe it is in the breath, or maybe in rising and falling, maybe in the foot, maybe in the belly. Whatever these observations are worth recording. Good.
Keď Lucas? Necítiš, yes. Keď necítiš ani bolesť a ani iný pocit, tak vlastne, alebo že to nepopíšeš, tak to znamená, že mysel sa otvára. Čiže pokiaľ máš nejaké pocity a ty ich označuješ alebo pomenovávaš, tak to je vlastne tá stará mysel. Ale keď si v tom bode, kde není ani bolesť, ani žiadny pocit, tak to je dobré. A k tej druhej otázke, keď pozoruješ brucho a hovoril si, že tam máš ten akoby jemný alebo ľahký pocit a potom ten pocit, ako by si tam mal tú dosku, tak to sú rôzne zmeny v pocitoch a ty dokážeš tieto zmeny pozorovať. Čiže možno raz pozoruješ zdvíhanie, klesanie, potom pociťuješ alebo pozoruješ nejaký pocit v ruke a to, že to dokážeš pozorovať, to je veľmi dobré znamenie, pretože myseľ je pripravená alebo otvorená akceptovať tieto vnemy. A čiže tiež vidí ich pominuteľnú alebo prechodnú povahu. spôsob, ako sa objavujú, ako ich vnímaš. A ty by si to nemal považovať za nejaké zlé znamenie, alebo za niečo zlé, ale je to skôr dobré znamenie, to znamenie vypasaný, že si není rozptýlený. Čiže či už takto všímavo pozoruješ brucho alebo pri kráčaní chodidla, tak vlastne to, že to dokážeš takto pozorovať a všímať si to, tak to je dobré.
OK.
Onda istupi, Bante.
Thank you. The question to Lucas.
Yes.
That, now you know that Fakuen is for the thank you, but what do you mean Alabo?
It means or. Oh. Alabo means or.
And or. Sishe. You always say Sishe.
I don't understand what is
at the beginning of the sentence, always you start with Sishe.
Ah, yes. That means something like a well. Well, but it has no sense. It is just a kind of useless word just to collect my mind, you know.
Ah, well, good. And then sometimes you call super. Super means
super
good.
Means very good, yes.
Now, super means in Sri Lanka, when they say English, very good, but normally in Slovakian it's called good. That well, I learned last time, but this time I'm learning another three terms. Good, thank you, we are moving.
Thank you. Takže ideme ďalej.
Pozdravujem ctihodného Damadživu. A dnes budem hovoriť o tom, čo pozorujem a čo vnímam pri primárnom a sekundárnom objekte, najprv pri chôdzi.
Today I'm going to talk about what I can observe in regards to primary and secondary objects, starting with the walking meditation.
Pozorujem, ako dostupujem na petu, ako mäkko dostupujem na petu pravej nohy, prenášam váhu cez celé chodidlo pravej nohy a v tom momente potom pozorujem, ako ľavá noha sa mi ohýba v oblasti prstov.
I can observe when placing the foot, I can observe soft sensation in my heel of the right foot. And then when I'm lifting my weight through the second, through the left foot, I can observe the whole foot, the whole sole of the foot. So then I can observe how the left leg is sa ohýba v oblasti prstov, hej?
Áno, pri hlavku, no prstov.
How the left
prstov
leg
ľavej
is
nohy.
Moving or changing in the area of toes.
A pozorujem, ako sa postupne dvíha. Vnímam, ako cez najprv všetkých 5 prstov, až potom nakoniec sa odlepí od podlahy posledným prstom, ktorý je palec. A noha
I
sa mi dvíha.
I can observe how the sole of the feet is lifting and starting with all 5 fingers, ending with the big toe.
A noha sa mi s ľahkosťou nohu dvíham a pomaly ju prenášam cez zaťaženú pravú nohu smerom dopredu, kde sa ten celý proces opakuje. To, čo som hovoril s pravou nohou.
I can feel how I'm lifting softly and placing softly the foot on the ground, and then again I can closely observe placing it on the ground, and then it repeats the same process as I have described. It repeats in the same manner with the right foot.
V momente, keď sa idem otočiť, alebo keď som na konci cesty, tak vnímam, ako dostúpi ľava noha k pravej, pričom pod pravou nohou cítim teplo, pri ľavej nohe cítim chlad. A keď som dostúpený obidvomi nohami, tak moja myseľ sa presunie na chvíľku na sekundárny objekt, ktorým je dýchanie, ktoré vnímam na brúšku, na bruchu, ako napätie, ako ľahké napätie cez napätú kožu brucha. A potom ešte počúvam tento prúdiaci vzduch v hlave alebo v uchu.
At the end of the walking path, I can observe how also the left foot steps nearby the right one, and then I am standing, and so at that moment I can feel warm in the right and coolness in the left leg. In that moment of in the turning point, my mind shifts briefly on a secondary object, which is the breath, and I can feel a soft tension in my at the skin of my belly, on the skin of my belly. So also I can hear the air coming in and out in my nose. Yeah.
Ako sekundárny objekt ešte pozorujem zvuky z okolia, z prírody. A všetko to pôsobí tak nerušivo.
As a, another secondary object, I can observe sounds of nature, but it's not disturbing.
Čo vstupuje rušivo do procesu pozorovania, sú myšlienky a pocity také netrpezlivosti alebo myšlienky na čas.
What tends to disturb the process of observation are thoughts and feelings of impatience and thinking of time.
A ešte tam vnímam ako rušivé momenty to, čo sa mi do mysle prediera akoby z takých tých, z tých naučených praktík toho hospodára. Hodnotenie, očakávanie, myšlienky z minulosti, z blízkej budúcnosti.
Mm-hmm. Also what I can perceive as disturbing elements or moments is what sometimes does arise in my mind are those habitual thoughts from my lay life, layman's life, my habitual patterns that I have acquired, such as judgments, expectations, thinking about the future or about the past, about the close and distance future. This I feel as a disturbing.
Pri pozorovaní v sede pozorujem dýchanie na bruchu ako napínanie, ako také pocit napätia, niekedy aj bolesti. A to záleží od toho, či som najedený alebo nie.
While doing the mindful observation in the sitting meditation, I observe in rise and fall, inhale, in-breath and out-breath in my belly. And so sometimes, especially after having eaten, I can feel slight tension or pain, depending whether I have just eaten or not.
A okrem toto pozorovanie je o mnoho chudobnejšie, a to ešte moja mysl to aj porovnáva, je o mnoho chudobnejšie ako to pozorovanie pri chôdzi.
Mm-hmm. My mind
toho primárneho objektu. Primárneho objektu, hej, pozorovanie primárneho objektu.
My mind tends to compare observations of primary objects while in a sitting meditation and walking meditation. And in the sitting meditation, the observation is much more poorer than in the walking meditation.
Ako sekundárny objekt v sede pozorujem alebo počúvam prúdenie vzduchu v hlave alebo v ušiach.
As a secondary object, I am observing or I'm listening to flow of the breath in my ears.
A okrem toho ešte pozorujem aj pocity polohy tela, hej, a občas naprávam práve tú polohu tela, lebo tie pocity z tela, ktoré sú také akoby také rozvoľnené, uvoľnené, tak sa to snažím napraviť.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to align my position and while doing that I'm observing bodily sensations and it gives a sense of relaxation. So I'm trying to adjust or align my position.
Takže takým rušivým je tamto porovnávanie, že o mnoho radšej robím meditáciu v chôdzi ako v sede.
What?
Lebo tá koncentrácia na ten prítomný okamžik, lebo tá koncentrácia na to sledovanie a pozorovanie toho primárneho objektu je v chôdzi taká príjemnejšia ako v sede.
Mm-hmm. I tend to compare the walking meditation and sitting meditation and because my capacity to focus and to observe the primary object in the walking meditation is higher, it's more comfortable, more pleasant than in the sitting meditation.
Ďakujem, to je všetko.
Thank you, that's all.
So in both sitting and walking, he managed to see the primary object and secondary object. So next time, whenever he's having such a discernment, he has to check how quickly the mind can come back from the secondary object to primary object. That is called resilience. So now he is in a position to see whether it is become efficient and increase or inefficient or decrease.
Takže dokážeš pozorovať primárny aj sekundárny objekt, jak v meditácii v sede, tak v meditácii v chôdzi. A teraz ako ďalšie sa skús zamerať na to, ako rýchlo tvoja mysel sa dokáže vrátiť späť zo sekundárneho objektu na primárny objekt a ako to účinne alebo efektívne dokáže a že či sa táto schopnosť zvyšuje alebo znižuje.
Yet another remark that even though secondary objects are there, some of them are not distracting. Like sounds in walking, but he says thoughts and the time consideration kind of thing, distracting. So whenever you come back from that distracting object to the primary object, how quickly you can come? More quickly, more efficiently you can come, all the objects, the negative part, inflicting part will be reduced. So therefore, try to see the way back home from the secondary object to primary object. That will be his next intention in the sitting and walking.
Takže ďalšia poznámka je, že aj keď sa objavujú rôzne sekundárne objekty, ale niektoré z nich nie sú rušivé ako zvuky v meditácii chôdzi, kým iné rušivé sú, ako napríklad myšlienky spojené s časom spomínanie na minulosť alebo plánovanie budúcnosti. Čiže tie sa objavujú ako niečo rušivé. Čiže potom sa viac zameraj na to, že keď sa dokážeš vrátiť späť z rozptýľujúcich objektov, späť na primárny objekt, tak ako rýchlo to dokážeš. Čím rýchlejšie sa dokážeš takto vrátiť späť, tým menej ťa tieto sekundárne objekty rušia. A preto sa skús sa vrácať späť domov zo sekundárnych objektov na primárny objekt, vždy, keď si to všimneš. A toto je taká tvoja úloha, alebo na čom by si mal pracovať v meditácii, jak v sede, tak v chôdzi.
OK.
Ďakujem ctihodnému Damajivovi.
Ďakujem.
Thank you. Ďakujem. Damajiva.
Alebo...
Nepočujem?
Pante, chcel by som sa opýtať otázku. Keď je môjim primárnym meditačným objektom dých, konkrétne brucho, je u mňa veľmi časté, že dvíhanie a klesanie brušnej dutiny je rozdielne než nádych a výdych. Napríklad stáva sa aj to, že hrudník s nádychom sa rozpína a brucho sa v tom istom čase, v tom istom nádychu stiahuje. Neviem teda, či sledovať pohyb brucha alebo hlavne nádych a výdych.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, dear Bante, my question is, when my primary object, primary meditation object is my breath, rise and fall of belly, of stomach. And then what happens very often to me is that there is a difference between rise and fall of the belly and inhale and exhale. For example, while inhaling, my chest, my ribcage, how do you say, increases or enlarges, and at the same time I can recognize that my belly contracts. So I don't know whether I should focus on inhale and exhale related with the breath or rise and fall of the belly, because there is some kind of contradiction. So I'm not sure whether I should focus on the movement of the belly, rise and fall, or on the inhale and exhale.
Yeah, that is usually a case when you are taking the body as such. Different activities are happening. This one, rising and falling as well as the breath, both of them are due to the breath. So you can, when you are observing the breath, it can be at the belly level or at the nostril level. Whatever it may be prominent is the what you must follow. So therefore, don't make a conscious decision. Just let the mind to follow what is prominent. And then later you can understand the other improminent things. So therefore, at the beginning, take the prominent thing as your primary object.
Obvykle sa v našom tele dejú rôzne činnosti a teda s dýchaním sa brucho zdvíha alebo klesá. A vlastne keď pozoruješ dých, tak buď ho môžeš pozorovať v oblasti nosa, nosných dierok, alebo ako zdvíhanie a klesanie brucha. A ty sa zameraj na to, čo je akoby výraznejší, čo je pre teba výraznejšie. Výraznejší v ňom. Čiže dovol svoje mysli, nech nasleduje to, čo je pre ňu výraznejšie, dominantnejšie. Potom neskôr, keď dokážeš pozorovať viac, tak to môže robiť inak, ale na začiatku, alebo pokiaľ v tejto situácii je dôležité, aby si sa zameral a pracoval s tým primárnym, to vzal, alebo to prijal ako svoj primárny objekt, čo ti vystáva ako prominentnejšie, ako výraznejšie.
Jak môžem upresniť tú otázku? Keď tá myseľ ide skôr ku bruchu, či teda na ňom pozorovať pohyb alebo dých? Asi takto by som to lepšie vyjadril, tú otázku.
Mm-hmm. If I may further specify my question, when my mind moves towards the belly, belly, stomach, then whether I shall observe movement of the belly or inhale and exhale?
Inhale and exhale is at the nostril level or top of your lip. The movement of the uprising and down falling is at the belly level. So whatever may be prominent thing, whatever may be dragging your attention is your prominent object, that is what you follow. So that is the rule of thumb for the beginner.
Nádych a výdych sa deje na špičke nosu, na ľavej a pravej nosnej dierke a zdvíhanie a klesanie sa deje v bruchu. A teraz pre začiatočníkov platí pravidlo, že čokoľvek z týchto dvoch vnemov je, ktorýkoľvek je výraznejší, dominantnejší, na ňo by si mal zamerať svoju pozornosť.
Ďakujem, teraz som porozumel celkom jasne. Ďakujem, Bante.
Thank you very much, Bante. Now I have understood very clearly.
What is name? What is his...
Ako sa voláš?
Miro. Miro.
Miro.
N-I-R-O.
Miro, Miro.
M-I-R-O.
M-I-R-O. Yes.
Okay. Ďakujem, Miro.
Thank you too.
Hello, Bante.
Hi.
Yeah, so regarding the walking meditation, I try to observe the difference between left-left or right-right, and like namely like the distribution of the pressure in different steps. It was a lot easier to do that on an uneven terrain, and I got frustrated when I tried that on the floor here. Then I switched to kind of to observing different muscles and tendons during the placing of the foot and lifting it up. Whilst observing breath in the sitting meditation, I noticed that during the inhale, there's this kind of energizing feeling, and during the out breath, there's a sort of calming feeling, like kind of subtle one. And I also observed some pressure in the abdomen area, and how that changes. So I notice usually that when there is some kind of pressure, like stronger pressure in the abdomen, there's some kind of emotion. And usually when I identify the emotion, there's kind of acceptance of it and it slowly dissolves. I also noticed that usually when I have distracting thoughts, they are some power fantasies where I, in some hypothetical scenarios, kind of correct an injustice and vindicate injustice that happened to me in the past. Or yeah, so that tends to happen in my mind. And I also wanted to ask one question. So on some days there's a lot of kind of frustration because there's a lot of distracting thoughts occurring, and I noticed that there's not a lot of metta. There's a lot of like anger, frustration, self-judgment, and criticism. And what usually happens is that I kind of keep doing vipassana practice and try to observe it, and then I it kind of passes. I kind of realize where the judgment lies and kind of let go of it. What occurs to me sometimes is like if I shouldn't, because I also have this judgment that this metta is something I'm not very good at, as also evidenced by this very sentence, and that I should develop it more. And whether so I have thoughts like maybe I should do metta meditation in this sitting or something like that. But yeah, I kind of keep practicing Vipassana. But if you have an advice on this, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, if you can sit comfortably, if you can sit symmetrically, that's a practical metta. Don't torture yourself. Sit very comfortably and see, am I comfortable? Am I relaxed? That is both metta and vipassana. Because you are in the present moment. So therefore, what is asking what through the body knowledge, you can give no problem. Because you are, you have both. And once the metta come, with the balancing happen, then only mind is listen to you. So therefore, use the body knowledge. And the early part of your report, you manage to either note or differentiate the left and the right or the in-breath and out-breath. So once that is fulfilled, well, you see, okay, now fairly I can understand the left and the right and the in-breath and out-breath, then see possibilities to see in-breath to in-breath differences, right breath to right breath differences, left leg to left leg differences, right leg to right leg differences, like, then it demands more energy, more mindfulness, and it is a kind of a radical way of observation. First do as you do now, and whenever you gain certain amount of confidence, have a close observation, immediate observation, peeping into the two modes of the object, both sitting and walking.
Okay, thank you. That makes a lot of sense to me. Thank
Welcome.
You, Bhante.
Welcome.
So, hello, Bhante. Because we have a short time, I will just pick up a very few moments that were interesting. So I decided to mindfully watch this conscious decision to have the cup of tea with milk, even though I don't really need it. And it was surprising that actually it didn't really taste very well. I didn't enjoy it at all. So, but the mind got attracted more into watching the sensations while eating or taking the food. So also during the lunchtime, there was a kind of strong focus on the food. And it was very interesting that the taste was strongest only at the very beginning, like when the first touch of the food, and also breathing in at the moment. It seems like the taste and the smell are combined somehow, and that creates this perception of the taste of the food. But then later with the chewing and swallowing, actually it was mostly about like a tactile sensations, more like the crunchiness of the salad or the smoothness of the soup. But it was very enjoyable for the mind to watch the different sensations. And also it was really amazing, and I couldn't really watch all the very fast decisions, like how the tongue would mix the food, like from right side to the left side, and when is the decision to swallow. But it was very, so I think it's a good inspiration also for others. It was very interesting, very deep kind of meditation during the taking the food. And in sitting meditation, just very, quite many things are happening. Only as you today mentioned this resilience, this is something that I just observed yesterday, a little bit annoying that the resilience is longer now. It seems like it takes longer than before. And I have noticed that it's because also the concentration doesn't have kind of momentum. Like the mind can be very concentrated in a short time, but also it's losing the concentration very easily. And also the mindfulness, like very fast, it can be very mindful, and then in next moment, it's not mindful. So that's another observation. And then in one sitting meditation, when the mind was very peaceful and quiet, and the dominant object was just like a very subtle vibration, just like energy field or the magnetic field kind of, but it was very difficult to grasp it or to have a clear perception of it. So there was a decision that, okay, I will label it somehow. I will try to cognize it in some clear way. And there was a thought like, is it a pressure or rather a pulling? And it was really just one thought. But during the thought, when there was, is it a pressure? Then I could really feel it's really a pressure, like pressing down. But then it continued, or a pulling. Then it was really a pulling. So it was very confusing because it seems like when the mind wants to see the pressure, then it can perceive the pressure. And when it wants to see the pulling, then it's the pulling. But if there was no this selecting anything of it, it was very shapeless, or it was not possible to say what it is. So then I started to really think like, well, it may be really all the sensations are just mind made, and just whatever the mind wants to observe, then it can see it. So that was just an interesting point that happened yesterday.
Thank you. In our mindful school for the children, we sometimes give something to eat. But before that, we ask them to close your eyes, open the hand as a beggar. So we keep something on the hand. So and ask, touch it with and see to guess what kind of, is it toffee or is it a piece of carrot or is it a piece of cake? So you can feel the softness, hardness, shape, and then ask them to smell with closed eyes. And again a challenge. And then bring it to the ear and see whether there's a noise. And if it's a wrapper with the toffee, ask them to open the wrapper and have the wrapper in one side hand and the other toffee is in the hand. And then ask, smell, taste, touch and kind of thing. At last he says, open your eyes and guess. See whether your predictions are correct. And then open your tongue and keep little bit at the tip of the tongue. Then that's the taste. And then get a piece of small piece and smear all around the mouth and see how saliva is coming. And so you feel all the six senses, and even a small toffee can give so much of energy. Otherwise, you have concrete mixture, putting sand, putting the cement and mixing, you don't know. That is the way at the parties, specifically after alcohol. Instead, now you go by little, you don't need any tea, but you prepare it. One of the very big shot came here and he told that wife also in the retreat, I thought of making a cup of coffee for me. So I went there, washed the cup and put the tea bag and got the hot water, removed the bag and got the brew and little sugar, it spilled down and clean it. And after having a cup of tea, washed the cup, remove this thing, and he told it is very unprofitable to have a cup of tea and useless. But at home, wife is coming and offering, I don't feel the credit, how to call the gratitude. But what an inefficient way to go and have a cup. Then I told, what about the tea makers at the tea factories, pluckers? They are all contributive, but you're bloody making a cup of tea itself is such a process. So we are very, very least, how do you call, appreciating. Whenever someone giving you a meal, when you someone giving a cup of tea, what a long process. And you have to do it, and then you find that we are doing everything habitually. There's no necessity. And when you are going, when you see coldness, that means your body is hot. When you see the hot, your body is cold. When you are lifting something, you are comparing it with the dropping. Without dropping, no lifting. So that is why Einstein told everything is relative. But you see, we see only one side and making comments and all the kind of thing. Bloody fools. Bloody fools. Only 50% maybe. No. And the resilience also, you see it, wherever the mind goes, all the time it is coming back. Nothing to worry. Whatever the unmindfulness, that will end up with mindfulness. Whatever the mindfulness, end up with unmindfulness. Where it is no special for Claudia. Everything is, you are getting the same Russian. You try to make it your own personal, private and confidential. No. Everything is normal. You are just a citizen, nothing else. Okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Bante.
Yes.
Okay. We've used the time, but if there are some online questions, or shall we close the...
Enough. Today, enough.
...session?
Today, enough.
Enough, good. Yeah. So, good. So, keep the questions for tomorrow.
Yeah, and you have to daily appear. Don't run away.
Shall I stay?
That paper, I have to decide the... I have to decide the sum, how much you have to pay. Okay, finished.
Okay, good.
Welcome. Bye-bye.